Thank you, Adam. All right, you'll stand if you're able. We will proclaim your greatness, our God and King. We will thank you forever and ever. The Lord is great and is to be highly praised. The Lord's greatness is beyond understanding.
What good will be praised from one generation to the next? We will proclaim your mighty acts.
We will speak of your glory and majesty, and we will meditate on your wonderful deeds. The Lord is loving and merciful, slow to become angry and full of constant love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit
be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty and eternal God, you show perpetual loving kindness to your servants. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody the generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the readings.
The first reading this morning is from Jonah, the third and fourth chapter. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country, that is why I fled to Tarshish in the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, is it better for me to die than to live? But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and so many animals also? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Philippians, the first chapter. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He goes, I feel like I'm reborn. I says, why, did you start going to church? He goes, no. He goes, I got new legs. He goes, I can do things again, so I feel like I'm reborn again. So there's all kinds of different kinds of births out there. And I thought that was very special. So when you hear the word birth, it's not just somebody's having a baby. There's all kinds of different births out there. So keep that in mind as you personally and as a church and as a community, as you move forward in what you can do to help each other try to find each other's new birth. So next is Dennis.
Looking at baptism, I've got a couple things. One came from your Bible, and you was by Arthur Maxwell, and I'll read this. I will practice the Bible, biblical method of baptism. This follows a simple from the commandment of Jesus to his disciples. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28. Baptism in Bible times was not by sprinkling, but by immersion. You will find an example of this in Acts 8, where Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water and later came up out of the water. And there is a good reason for this method, as Paul points out in his letter to the Romans. Know ye not, he says, that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like Christ, raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life, Romans 6. By allowing himself to be lowered under the water, a member of the church signifies his willingness to die of the old life of sin. By rising out of the water, he declared his determination to live a new life in Christ. It was fitting introduction to the new church, and a valuable meaning for not has not changed in the passing years. And I've also been listening to a podcast by Father Mike, The Bible in a Year. Heard him talk yesterday. He made a reference to Isaac and the stolen inheritance that Jacob took away from Esau. And when Esau went back to his father and asked him to rescind Jacob's inheritance, Isaac said he couldn't. And that's like the baptism. When we're baptized, we are given the inheritance of Christ. And we cannot, Christ will not take that away from us. It all depends on what we do with it. But once we are given that inheritance, we have that. And then if you look at the inheritance that are given, you can see examples of that all through the Bible, the prodigal son and different messages. So, but again, once God gives us his inheritance, we have it for life, is what we do with it. And next will be Jeff.
Good morning. My topic is life old and new. And I start off with give a reading from I took a verse out of the Bible I got out of the gathering area, one of the Good News Bibles. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19. But the Lord says, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch the new thing I'm going to do. It's happening already. You can see it now. And that's Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19. I can think of two past events. One when my 21-year marriage rapidly ended, and the second when I reluctantly decided to retire from corporate life. At various times, my emotions could be overwhelming, with my reality not being the same. As I waded through each day, facing challenges around every corner, everything felt unfamiliar and new, and not a good type of new. In fact, at times I felt like I was sinking under the weight of those emotions, and the heaviness of all the new pulling me under. The day came when I caved under with the weight of it all. I reached out to God for comfort. I suddenly sensed I was not alone at all. Peacefully, his presence floated gently into mine, and a peaceful passage suddenly came to me from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43, chapter 18, begins by saying, "Do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago." The Israelites were stuck in the past, remembering their former captivity and the miracles of God had done. Yet fearing new freedom, they now live in. In Isaiah 43, verse 19, what you see God telling them why to stop looking back and longing for what was gone. Watch for the new thing. I'm going to do it. It's happening already. You can see it now. Here the Lord encourages people to let go of the old and embrace the new, even though the new seems scary and unfamiliar. He wanted them to open their eyes to see he was still at work and still supreme. By keeping their eyes focused on the past, they were blinded to the good new things God was doing. When we intentionally choose to believe God's new is always good, even if we do not ask for it, want it, or understand it, we can step into the new with courage, bravery, and a positive attitude and an unsinkable faith. Letting go of the old frees up our hearts to embrace God's new for us. Like a little prayer here. Dear Jesus, I am in scary season of new. And at times I wish I could change things. Help me stay tied to you as my anchor rather than tying myself to the negativity and fear which can gradually sink me in my faith. Help me trust in you, your ways and your good with a whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, Mike, I forgot who's next.
Kathy.
So, I'm going to talk about death. This is a subject that I deal with a lot because of my work with Grief Share and because of personal experiences. The definition of death in the dictionary is the act of dying, the end of life, the total cessation of all vital functions of an organism. The biblical definition of death is the giving up of the spirit. God considers the death of those who die in the Lord to be precious to him. We need to remember that. Death is mentioned 12,440 times in the Bible. Yet it's a word that we try to avoid. We're born to die. Each of us will one day face our own death. Yet we try not to say the word. He passed away. I lost my loved one. Anything but that dreaded word, death. They died. We don't want to talk about it. Being a child of God, we know that indeed, our loved ones have been born into life eternal, into the new life for which we are all created. 1 Corinthians, death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, as humans, we do mourn, but God admonishes us to cease in persistent grieving because it will change who we are. It changes our nature. It changes how we act. It changes what we do in life. But it won't change the situation. The person is still dead. The dead will still be dead. Our reading from Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. And Brian is up next.
Good morning. So I was asked to say a few things on resurrection. For those of you who know me, you know I tend to be a sports nut. So to get a few, offer a few thoughts, I'm going to start in that direction. For those of you out there who are Buckeye fans, you might agree that last night the word resurrection might can't come into what took place. I'm not going to go into details. I'm not going to go into details about it, but somehow I just felt like that needed to get mentioned. So resurrection, from a sports perspective, how many times, it's a fairly common place in different sports, I'm going to say notably baseball, where maybe a player begins to decline his performance, and so he may go to another team in order to bring back that performance that he'd had before for a fresh start. And so that would be, you could consider that as a form of a resurrection, as a player resurrects his career, bringing it back from somewhere that it wasn't before. Resurrection is definitely a bringing back to life from death. As great as our human doctors and science has gotten to be, we have yet to figure out how to resurrect somebody from the dead. Jesus, on the other hand, had that part figured out just fine, as he notably raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead and had been in a tomb for 4 days and was able to bring him back from the dead. And maybe even most notably is Jesus himself, after our sins nailed him to the cross and he was crucified for our sins. What happened 3 days later? God raised him from the dead, and he appeared to our to the disciples. What that means to me is that by Jesus raising from the dead, he has therefore conquered death. Death is something that, I don't know about all of you, but I'll say it straight up for myself. It terrifies me. The idea of what's going to happen someday terrifies me. But I keep my hope in the fact that Jesus has conquered death for us. And because he's conquered death, we too get to live with him. And so for that, I say thanks be to God. And next up is Dick.
I'm going to be talking about combined services. Now, we have all experienced it within our own church, where we meet with the other churches in the county. This can happen periodically, like every fifth Sunday of the month. Also on special occasions, Lent, Advent, etc. Well, I've had additional experiences because what is a combined service, but people of two or more congregations getting together. When I was over in Saudi Arabia, we had one church service for all denominations. And periodically we would have a chaplain come in, but most of the time we took turns leading the service ourselves. The main thing to remember when you have a combined service is that we all have the same thing in mind. We are all praising Christ. We do it sometimes in different ways, such as saying the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses. And yet there are other obvious ways in the sequence of the service. But it all comes down to one thing. We are here to worship God. And we do that as often as we can, at least weekly. And now I would like to turn it over to the person who figured out a way not to have a sermon, Mike.
Thanks for putting me on the spot, Dick. Well, my last temple talk here is on the Apostle Paul, which he wrote a letter to the Philippians in our second reading. And he did this all while he was in prison. His letters revealed his sensitivity and his tenderness, his enthusiasm for Christ as the key to life and death. He also expresses gratitude, love, and confidence to the church members. Paul's main point in this letter to Philippi is that living as a Christian means seeing our own story as a living expression of Jesus' story. We should try to imitate Jesus' way of life so that even in the suffering, they and we can find contentment and purpose. Paul preached the life, death, resurrection, and lordship of Jesus Christ. And he proclaimed that faith in Jesus guarantees us all a share in his life. Remember, Paul sent letters out to different groups of people all the while he was in prison. And how did he do that? He used what we call today deacons and lay leaders to take these messages out and preach them to the different countries. This is basically where the foundation of lay readers began. Paul sent these letters out with these lay leaders on his behalf. After 2 years of imprisonment, Paul was able to finally plead his case and he was heard by the king. The king said, "Your testimony was some of the saddest words I'd ever heard. It almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Almost. That word almost seems almost as an active yet heartbreaking of a sound as it is. It's a too common and vague word. The old, "I almost gave more. I almost volunteered. I almost helped." But think about this. What if Jesus almost? He thought about it and almost fed 5,000. And as Sean would say, and women and children. He almost visited to help raise Lazarus from the dead. What about this one? "I almost made it to heaven." Ouch. I don't ever want that heard or said about me, that he was okay. He almost made it to heaven. With our churches today struggling throughout the world, we all decide not to share anything and go it alone. You know, look at the Lutheran churches. We're all struggling. If we decide to do it alone, chances are we're not going to be here long. the Lutheran presence is going to be not. The ministries are going to fail because we don't have enough people to help each other. We don't have enough younger people to learn the liturgy, the catechisms, to learn what is Lutherans about and to move forward and to keep the Lutheran life alive. The only answer would be we almost got together, but the word almost seems to be more of a negative word. What if we were almost born, almost baptized? We almost lived our lives to the fullest. Something to think about. But the king did not change, yet he did release Paul. Then Paul would travel to each of the other churches, and he began preaching. He couldn't do this on his own or in one day. It took many weeks, sometimes months. So the lay leaders would continue to fill in while Paul traveled to the different churches. This sort of brings us back to our Lutheran roots. As we move forward in this Lutheran community, at one point a church was born, and then another, and so on. People were baptized, we've all lived, we continue to live, trying to live the way of Christ. And someday the church, like everything else, will also die, if you will. But the good news from the promise of resurrection, our Lutheran presence will be like fruit on the trees at harvest time. We will be plentiful with missions, support, and full of Christ's energy. And it'll all be through the Holy Spirit, and it'll move through us. When this happens, our community will know we are all working together as one in Christ. Amen.
Remembering the caring, generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors.
God, who is gracious and merciful, teach your church to invite and welcome all. Lead us to find blessing in community, challenge us to reject selfish desires, show us how to choose compassion over judgment. Send the Holy Spirit to guide us as we continue to process of considering consolidation, and open our hearts and minds to discerning your will. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who sends the wind and the sun, you know every worm and bush by name. Help us remember that even the humblest parts of creation are precious to you. Show us how best to care for the earth and its creatures. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who is ready to relent from punishing, impart your compassion, wisdom to legislators, judges, members of the military, and law enforcement. Give them courage to serve their communities in times of uncertainty, stress, or exhaustion. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who saves, direct your people who are tempted by evil ways. Protect your children from calamity and disaster, and be with those who are recovering from natural disasters, especially the Maui and Canadian wildfires, recent hurricanes, Moroccan earthquakes, and Libyan flooding. Strengthen all who are incarcerated. Encourage all who are in despair or pain of any kind, especially the family and friends of Brian, Caleb, Jim, Beth, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, Evelyn, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Provide all we have named with the healing comfort, hope, and peace made available only in Jesus Christ. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, who is slow to anger, may we boast about your goodness of Jesus with the confidence of Paul in prison. Inspire us to find abundance in whatever vocation we are called to in this world, and service to our community through the work of this congregation, First Lutheran. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these in the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace. Continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table, that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God.
We give our thanks and praise.
There we go.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts. Freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God.
Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God.
Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. For your word of life, O God. Amen.
Join me in the Lord's Prayer. I don't know. Yeah, he got it up there.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are fed by God's very own self with God's very own hand. Come to table where all are welcome. At this time, you may be seated. We have some announcements. We are in need of helping hands to help during worship and in the missional outreaches. We especially need a lay reader for the month of October. Look on the bulletin boards out there to see what's going on and sign up if you feel the need. And today after service, there's a special congregational meeting. We are going to vote on the call for Sean and his compensation packet. And then we are going to pass out these little pamphlets with a parish name that's been selected. So, CCSG needs donations of diapers, diaper wipes, personal hygiene items, and paper products. You can drop them off Monday through Friday at First Lutheran from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sorry, that'll be Monday through Thursday. We will continue our five-week study on the Lutheran liturgy with the CCLP continuing on Wednesdays. We are meeting each Wednesday from now until October 4th at Trinity Lutheran here in Galleon at 7 p.m. The noisy offering funds for the month of September is going to the Lutheran Disaster Relief. Tuesday, prayer shawl meeting is at 7. No? Has that been canceled? Yes?
I just remember there's a holiday in there, so throw me
off. Okay, this Tuesday at 7 o'clock is prayer shawl. Anybody interested or wants to know more about what's going on with them, please join in. They're also doing stuff at a nursing home out at Mill Creek, correct? So, anybody else have any announcements? Yes. You. Anybody else? All right. Please stand if you're able. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Go in peace. Share the good.